The text before us is the epistle lesson for the fifth Sunday of Easter. It is taken from the first chapter of the letter of James. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Probably every Christian, including little children, have tried to imagine what it would have been like to have lived on the ark during the great deluge that covered the entire face of the earth. To just try to envision what it would have been like to have been on that huge vessel full of all of the animals with no cans of Lysol, and to think of the rain beating and pouring down. And I think of what it would have been like that first day you felt the ark lift off of the ground and begin to float. I think of probably the pounding fists that you heard on the side of the ark after the waters got deep enough that the people outside realized what was happening. And then what it would have been like to not hear any more pounding of fists, and just to have nothing but silence as you're floating along through the water for days and days and days. And then to have opened up the windows at the top, the whole sending out of the birds and so on, and finally realizing it's time to land, if you will, and disembarking the ark, that first feeling of seeing the doors open, probably a sunny day, and being able to come down onto dry land again. Just to think of the joy that you had, and to think that God, of all people, spared you and this family to be the ones that preserve his creation, and now will replenish the earth through all of these animals that had been with you on the ark for all of this time. Just to try and envision and imagine what that would have been like, and the gratitude that they had in their heart to God. We're told that as soon as they got off the ark and as soon as the animals left the ark, the next verse in the Bible, in Genesis, tells us that they built an altar to the Lord. And isn't that just what we would expect? Coming off of being spared your life physically and being taken care of, and seeing the extreme providence of God, knowing how he had commanded you through his own voice to take care of having this ark be built, and how this protected you and your family and all of that, and to think of his wonderful, marvelous grace that he must have, how could they do anything else than to just build an altar and to give thanksgiving to God? This special week in the church year gives us time to pause and to reflect upon just the gift of worship and the gift of singing our praises to God. This epistle from James is very fitting for that week. Listen again to the first line of this text. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. He makes a distinction between two types of gifts, every good gift and every perfect gift. The good gifts that he's talking about are the gifts of this life and of this temporal world in which we live that are wonderful, that we get to enjoy all of the time. There are many individuals in this world who would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to have the eyesight that I get to enjoy every day and can easily take for granted. There are many thousands of people in this world who would love to enjoy the health that I get to walk around with and enjoy absolutely every day of my life. Each year, there are hundreds, maybe thousands or more, of people who either end up drowning or end up in prison because of trying to reach the shores of our United States, a citizenship that I can easily forget about and not think is that important. There's not a single person in this room, I would guess, that has had to go missing one meal in your whole life without you wanting to do it. Possibly. But just think how rare that is in other parts of the world. I remember years ago, I was living in Florida, and one night there was a gentleman that was going to sleep out under the canopy of our church because he wasn't able to get home. It was too late at night. He was a migrant worker, couldn't speak any English. And I thought, well, he lived out in a town about 20 miles away. And I thought, well, instead of having him sleep outside, I'll drive him home. So I was going to give him a ride in my car. Couldn't talk to him. Imagine that, me not being able to talk to somebody. But what was really fascinating to me, as soon as he got in my silly little Honda Civic, which I was thinking of possibly getting rid of at the time and buying a bigger, better car, he started looking at the dash and the radio the way I maybe would have been as a child going inside of a limousine. Missionaries in South America that I've spoken to when they come back on furlough have told me that you can tell how wealthy we are in the realm of clothing by the fact that it's the hand-me-downs that are making it down into the jungles of Peru are only about 3 years old now. It took about 10 years for them to show up. T-shirts with Kobe Bryant's name on them instead of somebody from 10 years earlier. And we're so spoiled that we can complain about the fettuccine in our dining hall because it doesn't quite taste like the Olive Garden. And the average pet dog in the United States probably eats better than maybe hundreds of thousands of children in the world. When we really think about the good gifts that God just showers down upon us every day because of his wonderful divine providence, that alone should make us want to just break out in song and thanksgiving to him. But he reminds us also of the perfect gifts that have come down to us as God's children in this world, as the faithful in Christ, the perfect gifts that God sends to us. As our Lord Jesus ascends into heaven and sends his Holy Spirit to shower down through the means of grace the wonderful blessings of his heavenly kingdom. These are the perfect gifts. Just think how important truth is. The truth about who we are as people, our sinfulness, our need for a Savior. We've been taught that by God's grace through the work of the Holy Spirit. Just think how essential that present is from God to have truth about ourselves and to know what's going to happen in this life and to our bodies and how important it is to be prepared for eternity. Think of the gift, the present that comes down from heaven of repentance. That little tiny activity in your heart and mind that acknowledges our guilt, that makes us realize we've sinned against God, that makes us realize that there's no way I could ever get myself right with this holy being in heaven by myself. That little activity of repentance in our hearts that causes us to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins for Jesus' sake. What a present. What a marvelous gift that is from God. Conversion. The very fact that we know Christ at all, that we believe in him at all, that we hold on to him at all, that's entirely a present from the gift of God. Walther puts it this way, as little as a person can give bodily birth to himself, so little can he cause himself to be born again. And we can just take that for granted. What a wonderful present that God has caused you and me to be born again in Christ and to know him in his grace. Peace with God. Think of how many people in this world right now are living in terror of dying, are living in absolute fear of judgment day. Don't even want to think about it. It's so oppressive to them. But because of what Christ has done for us on the cross and because of the marvelous grace and mercy that God has showered upon you in the waters of baptism, that he gives you through his word, that he declares to you through absolution, that he puts in your mouth with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ, just think of the wonderful, marvelous peace that you and I know that we have before God. The forgiveness of all of our sins and the absolute promise of certainty of heaven. These are all such wonderful gifts that just rain down on us every day through the means of grace. Martin Luther said this, If you carefully balance our gifts on the one hand and trials on the other against each other and weigh them carefully, you will find that the blessings conferred upon you are so numerous and rich that they far outweigh the injuries and reproaches that you must incur. And so James says to us, who realize not only the good gifts that we get from God, but the perfect gifts as well, James says, don't be deceived. Don't confuse where these come from. Don't be tricked into thinking somehow you had something to do with them. Don't let the world somehow convince you it has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And so true faith in Christ, those who have this faith will automatically want to seek out the giver of these presents. When I was a little boy, I used to get the job, maybe you did too, at Christmas time of handing out the presents to all the people that were there. And that was a fun job, but when you receive the gift, even someone giving it to you and handing it to you may not be the person that actually gave you the gift. Your first thought when you read the card and open the gift isn't toward the one who delivered it, but is toward the real giver of the gift. Years ago, there was a gentleman in one of my congregations I was serving that had just come out of surgery and came back from the hospital. And on his way home from the hospital, before he got to his house, he stopped by the church and he brought his checkbook into the office and he sat down at my table and he said, is there any special thing that the church needs? I just want to give God a gift for bringing me so safely through this surgery. We think of the 10 lepers who were healed by our Lord Jesus and how our Lord noted that one who came back to acknowledge him in thanksgiving. God loves to hear the praises and thanksgiving from his people who recognize his hand in all of the gifts they receive. And one of the unique and special ways that this is done in the church is through the beautiful gift of music and song. And on this campus, we are just so blessed to have such amazing music all the time in our worship services, through our choirs. It is just such an exciting, wonderful place to be from that perspective. Just think of the gifts of the musicians that God has given to his church in our little group here on this campus. It's just mind-boggling. What a wonderful present that we have from God, and that we should take advantage of this wonderful gift. It is the nature of the church to sing praises to God and to give him thanks. You couldn't stop Noah and his family, and you can't stop God's people today. Down in Kansas, there are a whole bunch of people that just lost their houses. But you watch. This coming Sunday, and the cameras will probably be there, you watch. They will be holding church services and singing praises to their God. You see, you just can't shut up the church who recognizes the giver of every good and perfect gift. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant unto your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this world our hearts may always be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.